Young. Happy Wednesday, Sonny.
Happy Wednesday, Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand you are kicking off in Ghana's capital.
Kim, let's kick off in Accra. That's where three candidates in next month's FIFA presidential election have lobbied for votes at the West Africa Football Union Zone B's General Assembly. Picking up the story, here's our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori.
The candidates, Prince Ali Al Hussein, Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa, and Gianni Infantino, addressed the media. Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa explained his plans.
President Blatter has been successful in introducing such programs to help the countries that are in need. I think this has to continue as well. If I look at Asia, I think we focus on the countries that are in need for support. But Asia and Africa are more or less the same. When we look at the background of the countries, the culture, and even in football, I think there is a good understanding on what needs to be done. But other regions feel the same way as well. In Africa, football has flourished, and this region in particular. We all know that most of the teams that reach the World Cup are from West Africa. But again, we need to focus on the others that need the support as well. Because if you want to raise the level, we need to focus on all areas, not just a certain region.
At the Congress, President of the Ghana Football Association, Kwesi Nyantachi, retained his position as WAFU Zone B president. The Ghanaians secured four votes to beat Jibrila Hima Hamidu from Niger, who got three out of the seven total votes. The delegates from the seven WAFU Zone B member countries are Nigeria, Niger, Benin, Togo, Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, and Ghana. Ghana's Kwesi Nyantachi will serve a new term as head of the sub-regional football body from 2016 to 2020. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sunny.
David, controversy over the recent African Football Award ceremony in Abuja, Nigeria. How about some details?
Yes, Sonny. Yaya Toure, he's got so used to lifting that trophy, the CAF Footballer of the Year, that he found it very difficult to accept that for once he wasn't going to lift it. He has won it, Sonny, four consecutive times. That's a record. But this time it was Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the Gabon and Borussia Dortmund striker, who struck gold. Aubameyang collected 143 votes, and those came from either national coaches or technical directors in the various members of CAF. Now here, Sonny, my first disappointment of this whole event. Only 43 of the 56 eligible countries actually voted. 13 did not. And I think that is nothing short of a disgrace. There was plenty of warning, and CAF have reiterated that they also sent out several reminders to national football associations to get those votes in. I mean, Sonny, realistically, it will probably take you all of a couple of minutes to decide who the African Footballer of the Year and the African-based Footballer of the Year were going to be. And I think it's a black mark. And, Sonny, I'm going to go further and name these countries. Angola, Benin, Congo, Brazzaville, Kenya, a big surprise to me, Central African Republic, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Eritrea, Sao Tome and Principe, Comores, Seychelles, Reunion, and Zanzibar. Those countries could not find a couple of minutes to decide who the African Footballer of the Year was. And as far as I'm concerned, Sonny, shame on them. Now, when you look into the voting, Sonny, it's bizarre, absolutely bizarre. 18 countries considered Aubameyang the top player, and they gave him 5 points. But nine other countries didn't even consider him worthy of a place among the top five. They gave him no points. And one that really disturbed me was Ghana. Ghana gave their 5 points to their homeboy, Andre Ayew. I've got no problem with that. But they gave no points whatsoever to either Aubameyang or Yaya Toure. Now, if those two players, Sonny, are not among the top five in Africa, Well, I've just been watching the long game for the last 12 months. My reading of this, Sonny, is that Ghana decided not only were they going to boost IU's chances, but they were going to make sure that they did not give any votes to what were perceived to be his main challengers, Obiang and Touré. We also had a bizarre situation where the Sudanese voted number one, Kareka. He is, of course, a Sudanese player. He's a very good player. But don't tell me for one second that he was a genuine contender to be the African Football of the Year. So what we have, Sonny, is very nationalistic attitude towards this voting. Now, I'm not quite sure what the best system is. Some people say, well, allow the public to vote. But let's take VOA as an example, Sonny. We have literally millions of listeners in Africa, and a huge number of those come from a couple of countries. And my worry would be that that immediately gives players from the countries where VOA are very strong a decided advantage. A simple example, let's say you had a Nigerian footballer and you had a Rwandan footballer. Now, the Rwandan footballer, it's a small country, so I think he's going to get a lot less votes. I've got a real worry about the public in that sense, that they're going to judge not so much on the abilities of the players, but on where exactly they come from. Then you come to this issue of the coaches and the technical directors, and I thought, well, this is the best solution because these guys surely know all about football. But then, Sonny, you look at Sudan, you look at the Algerians. The Algerians, they voted for an Algerian as number one. So it seems to be a real problem here. There's a very nationalistic attitude towards voting. They're voting for their own person, I believe, rather than the best footballers. I don't think there's a shred of doubt, Sonny, that Obiang, Touré and Ayew were worthy top three contenders. You can argue for the next 12 months as to who should have been one, two and three, but they were very genuine contenders for the title. And the fact that Obiang, nine countries, totally ignored his amazing achievements at Borussia Dortmund, 27 goals in the first half of the season in all competitions. He's the hottest property in Europe, according to several news agencies. Several English clubs have been linked to him, including Manchester United, Arsenal and Liverpool. Are you really trying to tell me he didn't deserve a single vote? Anyway, Sonny, the drama exploded very quickly after the announcement. Yaya, who looked like he'd been hit by an express train when he was told he was runner-up, he said that he thought he should have won. His argument, Sonny, is that the judges did not take the African Cup of Nations seriously enough. Now, in the Cup of Nations, of course, Ivory Coast won the tournament. They won it under the captaincy of Yaya. Whereas Gabon went out in the first round, and obviously, because of that, Obiang made a very limited impression. But the counter-argument is that the highest level of football in the world is in the top European leagues. And here we're talking about England, Spain, Italy, France, and Germany. Obiang plays in Germany. He's playing at a very high level, and he's scoring basically a goal a game. He is a goal machine. But Yaya felt that the judges were looking too much at what was happening in Europe. And interestingly, you see, Yaya didn't have a particularly good year for Manchester City. So, yeah, he may have a point, up to a point, Sonny, but the general reaction on social media that I've watched from Africa is that he's a sore loser and he needs to grow up. Obiang, on the other hand, he made a pledge to his late grandfather. His grandfather died just last year, that one day he would play in Spain because his grandfather was a fantastic supporter of Real Madrid. And he told his grandfather, one day, Papa, I will play in Spain. Also interesting is the fact that we know that Barcelona have sent representatives to watch Borussia Dortmund with a specific eye on Obiang. So it's going to be a very interesting future. Obiang himself, I thought Sonny handled himself very well. He was very polite. He praised not only his own victory, but he also praised Yaya and Andre Ayew, who finished third. And then he got a hero's welcome in Gabon, remembering that he is the first Gabonese footballer to win the African Football of the Year. There are some huge expectations surrounding Obiang. I think the Gabonese nation expect that he's going to spearhead a major push towards winning the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations. Now, we've got to bear in mind Gabon are ranked 19th in Africa, and apart from Obiang, they don't really have any stars, so that's going to be a big ask. And, of course, the fact that he's now the African Footballer of the Year has brought extra attention, if it was needed, to him in the Bundesliga. I think every German defender will be on red alert to stop this man scoring even more goals.
And speaking of goals, David, 2015 African Footballer of the Year, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, is currently leading the Bundesliga in scoring with 18 goals from 17 matches played. Polish striker Robert Lewandowski of Bayern Munich is next with 15 goals. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Lionel Messi and Carly Lloyd, who on Monday were named the 2015 FIFA Male and Female Footballers of the Year. Both players are shown holding their trophies. Barcelona and Argentina superstar Messi won the FIFA Ballon d'Or award for a fifth time in 7 years, while Carly Lloyd won her first ever FIFA Women's Player of the Year award. The 33-year-old Lloyd becomes the third American to win the FIFA prize, following Mia Hamm and Abby Wambach. Wambach, the 2012 winner, played her last match for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team last month. Abby retired as world football's all-time leading scorer, male or female, with 180.